Paige is planning her honeymoon with Henry. The five witches and Piper's sons have a meal, and Christy telepathically asks Billy to get her out of the situation. We don't get introduced to this new sisterly bonding thing that they've suddenly got. All of a sudden now, she can telepathically talk to her. Fine. There are rumors of magic school students being attacked. Candor, the surviving triad member, appears to Christy and warns her not to get enmeshed with the Hollowells. Welcome to another episode of Brunch with the Hollowells. We are on episode 17.
Wow.
17 of season 8. And here with me is Ryan once again to help with the recap. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Charmies. Happy Sunday brunch.
Happy Sunday brunch. Yes. So, Ryan, what did you think of the episode?
Not a bad episode, but I definitely got a lot to say, and it maybe involves Phoebe. So for half of it, I liked, and half of it, I was just like, eh. In between. It could be worse. It could be Tituba. Not Tituba! Tuatha! Tuatha!
I thought that you were going to hate this episode because Paige wasn't in it. You're like, this is the worst episode ever because Paige wasn't in it. And I swear to Jesus, if you pick her for MVP. But we're not going to go there yet. We are going to do play right now. First of all, I'll just say the episode was fine. I thought it was another solid episode. There was a lot going on, but a lot of callbacks. Lots of it. And we'll definitely go through them. I didn't mind the repeated, you know, clips and whatnot, but I have my bone to pick with that a little bit. So let's get into it. Let's talk about play. What's our play of the week?
I'm afraid to say it because Rob is gonna strangle me through the camera. Actually, my play, Rob, is Paige missing her sisters and wanting to visit while on her honeymoon.
So over you. That's fine. That's your scene. Fine. It's totally fine. My play of the week was actually the end. It was really, okay, so this is callback number one that I like, even if it's not, this is how I took it.
Okay.
So we end an episode with Cole destroying the triad, right? Bam. He doesn't like what he heard and he's like, I'm going to kill you. Right?
Yes.
Look what happens at the end of this episode. Christy hears something she didn't want to hear. And what does she do? She took out the last remaining triad member with a hand through the freaking body, bloodied, like savage boss. That was so freaking savage. And I don't know if the triad's body is just mush. You know how when zombies, you know, they don't have that like skin density and you can just punch one in the face and the whole face would go like, I don't know if that's what the triad's bodies are because they're taking over. I don't know, but their body wasn't that solid. Or does she have strength? Is that one of
that's
her powers?
What I took it at. I took it as that maybe like one of her powers is she was just so angry. She like just burst through him. But yeah, maybe that makes more sense. What you said.
That was savage. And that was a great, and I will say that she killed that scene too. As far as the acting goes, I'm going to give it to her on that one. She like, I love
wow.
it. So that was my play.
Is this Christy Jenkins probably first and only play?
We'll see. All right. Who was your MVP?
It's not Paige. I got her on the other side. It's actually going to be Piper again, Rob. In a Piper mood these last few episodes. I think, again, it's a lighter Piper, even though she had a little struggle today with, you know, with the kids coming and worrying about this whole thing with Leo. I still found her so nurturing. It's a calmer Piper, and this is the Piper I would have loved to have seen a little longer.
Okay. You didn't find her motherly instincts being overbearing to Christy annoying?
I didn't, because honestly, she was being so nice to her. And maybe, yeah, it was a little overbearing, but I wish it was for someone who appreciated it.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Okay. No, that's awesome. Piper is always great. So yeah, I'm totally down for her getting MVP. All right. So my MVP goes to the scene stealer. Like when they're there, I cannot take my eyes off.
Oh, is it Coop?
No, it is not Coop. It's scene stealer. Just gravitates to that. I just can't help it. Stole every scene. Billy's hair.
Oh!
Billy's hair is my MVP this week. Could not take my eyes off. Just stole every scene. It was insane. What was happening?
Sister got into a fight with a demon in a bush and she just left it that way. It was electrifying, Rob.
It also was like costume changing throughout the episode. Like it was not as flat as it was in a previous scene. It would just get wilder every time the camera was on it. MVP for sure. Just knocked them all out of the
right. That is
all out of the way for this episode.
The best MVP we've had on this show, because it was something else, Rob. Like, why?
That I don't get hair? It. It was just a choice, and I just didn't get it. But MVP. All right. Did you happen to add anyone to your Hot Man meter this week?
It's raining men. Coop didn't appeal to me enough yet. He's still got a few more episodes. I'm looking at him. I'm glancing over. I'm working up to it. So no, because I feel like he was really the only... Oh, Christy's father, but...
I did not add anyone either this week, so it looks like we're in the clear, but we do have some more episodes. My list is already super long. Something that I haven't really done lately this season, this is just a big reminder, guys. I will be asking for Hot Man Meter lists with Most Adorable and Hottest Female at the end of the season. So hopefully you guys are still keeping up your list. You know, we got to go out with a bang on this last season. I want lots and lots of lists of hot men, and I want to see exactly what the Charmies think about the men of season 8. So hopefully you guys are putting your list together. And I can't wait to see them at the end of the season. So just make sure to keep that list updated. All right, let's get on with the recap. The original air date was April 16th of 2006, written by Rob Wright, directed by Michael Grossman. Now, you know what I just thought of? Michael Grossman, do you think that's why Leslie Grossman was Phoebe's assistant for those few episodes? Could there be a relation between the two of them?
If they're related, that would be amazing. Of course, for anyone who doesn't know, this is, you could probably see her on American Horror Story currently. But yeah, she was, Rob and I know her from Popular too, from the WB. But yeah, that's a great connection. I wonder if that's it.
Yeah. Marnette Patterson is back as Christy Jenkins. We have Barbara Niven and David Starzik as Helen and Carl, respectively, as Billy and Christy's parents. We also have Leland Crook back as Candor. Some newcomers, James Imachus as Ryan, Kimberly Peterson as Jen. We also have John Rosenfeld as Patter. And then David S. Lee as Rondock. And back once again, Coop Victor Webster. Piper is forced to take charge when Leo's teen proteges come to the manor seeking refuge from the demons that have overtaken the magic school. So I want to start with the brunch or breakfast scene. I'm just going to say brunch because that's the show, of them all having food together. And it, you know, who was it? I think it was Paige who said, oh my God, look at the spread. And I know Christy is not complaining about free food and having secret conversations at the table. But do you notice how her attitude has suddenly just went 180 now that we know about her? all of a sudden she's just got words, she's got feelings, and they're all negative as hell. I mean, you got a roof over your head. These women have no reason to have you shacked up in there at all. At best, it's lucky that they still even need Billy at this point, because they are already out of their hiding. So it's just like, you two are literally just hanging out without paying rent, I must add. Like, she just doesn't get it. But I just love how her attitude is just so... And her attitude towards the elder, too. She's like, what are you doing here? How dare you show up? I'm like, give me strength to deal with this woman.
Rob, we both wrote, I see that now, we both wrote 180, because the way we ended last week, I remember you asking the question, what was, like, you wanted to know more of what Christy was thinking and how, you know, what was really going on in her mind. And evidently, it's this, like, there's not even an act anymore. She's not even giving Billy an act that she's innocent, which I don't get it. All of a sudden she's talking fine and very, you know, assured, and I don't understand why no one noticed this.
Well, this is why I had the question last week about, you know, does she just find it so annoying and disgusting to have to play this role of like bonding and trying on clothes? I just feel that inside she is just dying and she just wants to get Billy away from them as soon as possible.
And you heard, right? That's exactly, she's literally screaming in Billy's head that if I eat another thing, I mean, my God, so ungrateful. You eating chicken on the floor with no forks last week.
So the only other thing that I had is when Paige receives her honeymoon or engagement or marriage gift from the sisters, and it's an envelope that's empty. You know that you have been working so hard in your life when your honeymoon gift is an empty envelope saying that you don't have to fight demons this week. Like, that is a, like, you have been working your bone off, like, to receive that. I just think that is like, that is the life of a charmed one, is like, don't fight demons this week. Just go and have a good time.
How sad, but in another way, how sad is that, Rob? Couldn't even get her card. They didn't even bother getting her card. It was an empty envelope.
But I don't even think that's a thing. Like, a honeymoon gift? That's not a thing.
But I guess, like, what do they have? Like, I would say a wedding gift.
So if it was a wedding gift, then yes, fine. I guess that definitely. But I was like, is this really for the honeymoon? I don't get it, but... Yeah,
I have a feeling that's a wedding gift, and poor Paige got stiffed at even a card, Rob, a card. So I don't have to mention Billy's hair, because you beautifully showcased it as, I loved it. That was so funny. Scene stealer that it was. But what about, let's go back to the telepathy again. I am not okay with this, Rob. I am not okay with these off-air powers that they're just throwing into these two, and... It's nothing. I think Phoebe does that throwaway line. Oh, no telepathy at the table or something like that. But no, like, no one's questioning that these girls are getting more and more powers and more powers and more. And that Christy's acting a little differently. I agree. So Matthew Mitchell's, I wanted to get your take on that. What do you think about Paige keeping her last name? Now, it's not like the Hollowell-esque, you know, known as this line of witches, but it almost is in line with that. It almost seems like she wanted to do something similar. I mean, some people choose to keep their, you know, their surname anyway, but... I just wanted to get your take on that. Like,
well, I want to say that I've asked you previously about this. I think when we talked about, I can't remember if it was the day the magic died or something, and they were talking about baby names and the last name, and I couldn't remember what you were saying. I want to say I asked you, would you take guy's name or are you going to keep it the same? Maybe I didn't, but for me, I don't necessarily have a big opinion about it. I think that's more of a old school barbaric way of, you know, that favors the men over the women when it comes to a specific name. Now, if the name is going to get you places, then yeah, benefit from the name, you know, take ownership of that. I also understand that it's a way to bond and bring people closer when you are under the same last name, but I don't necessarily have a strong opinion about it. What sucks, though, is my head will go spinning because it is such a very embedded tradition that if you want to be the unique person that doesn't want to do it, then I'm going to take it personal and think that it's something about me. But it's like, why would they marry me if they don't want to be, you know? So that naturally my head would go there, but it really could just be an independent thing. And I'm cool with that. I don't necessarily have an issue. The hyphenated stuff is whatever also. I'm no judgment here, but I don't have a strong opinion about it.
That's a great way of putting it. And that question, I could see that too. Even in my head, I'd be like, oh, you don't want to, maybe for a moment, like the person doesn't want to take your name, whatever. But I thought Matthew Mitchell sounded cute, actually. I mean, she's at a law firm, but I thought it was cute. But Paige Matthews, hey, Hallowell.
I mean, it's just one thing of like, relinquishing a big part of your identity by taking somebody else's. Again, it just favors the guy more because they don't have to change their name. So I get it if it's not a thing anymore, and I wouldn't be too upset if they wanted to keep their last name.
So back to just this one thing. Piper literally says, you're practically one of us. So for her to say that, I feel like that was a big thing. She let these two girls in to their lives, and mothering or not, we'll get into it in the next few scenes. It's just so sucky that this is the way that the character is heading, because I think it could have been something else and it could have been beautiful.
You know what I just thought of just now? Do you know who would come in and be pissed off that these two women get to stay at this house and be witches with them? Aviva. Aviva would be like, I tried to be the fourth sister 7 years ago, and you guys were like, get the fuck out of my house. All of a sudden now, not one, but two women get to not only be a sister, but live here with you? How dare you? That's rude. Aviva would be pissed if she found out this happened.
Get out of his room. It's not your room. Oh, my God. Talk about people I dislike on Charmed. Rob just mentioned another one. Aviva. The Jenkins parents are in town, and Billy wants Christy to meet them. Christy is unwilling. Two Noxon demons are torturing a witch named Ryan. Candor, accompanied by Christy, intervenes, and the witches escape. The Noxon demon demands revenge, but Candor won't permit it. Coop continues to pursue Phoebe. He asks her what she had when she had her last date, and she cannot answer. He uses his ring and tells her she has a block. Why do I feel that we have done this before, and I've been on the show for it in the last 3 years, and cannot feel love? He takes her hands, and they find themselves in Dex Lawson's studio, a scene from Rewitched, viewing the scene where Phoebe admits to being Julie Bennett, and this is my favorite part, everyone. Phoebe just leaves when he faints. You hear her shutting the door. She walks out and just leaves that man on the floor. We didn't see that originally. Two student witches, Ryan and Jen, one of them whom earlier was tortured by the Noxons, come into the manor asking for Leo. Phoebe needs to be reminded of love again. Now, Charmies, I know we had a beautiful answer, I think, a little while ago from a Charmy who said, you know, what was going on with Phoebe and her blockage and things like that. But Rob, does this flashback not prove anything but that every man came into her life to remind Phoebe of love? The scene when she was with Drake, I wanted to shake. I was like, this is exactly the same thing Coop is here to do, but we're doing it for the third time because Phoebe cannot get over it. She needs a man continuously to remind. I mean, it was ridiculous. I'm like, okay, so this man reminded you of love. This man came into your life to remind you of love. This man. I'm like, Phoebe, like, I don't know. It just annoyed the crap out of me.
Well, that's the thing, is like when it happens, then she gives into it and then they disappoint. So she has to be reminded of it again and try again and believe in it again. She keeps trying and it continuously fails. So I can see her reservation. I just, in agreement with you, I can understand why she has to take it so far back and not really remember the progress that she's made these right. last couple of times. Like, I get the reservation, but just don't go so far back that we have to start over again. But again, you see how it didn't take but 2 seconds to get her back to normal.
That's what made me so, I don't know, it was just like this whole thing, literally, he wasted a whole day bringing her around to the pass just for, like you said, 2 seconds of, oh, the block was gone. I don't know. It's just, did this have to happen again? Just again.
Yeah, I mean, Jason and, you know.
Dex. 98 degrees.
They were just heavy. And here's the thing.
Drake.
She could have been with Leslie, but she just chose her powers over, you know, being, you know, with him. Leslie was down. Leslie was totally down. He just didn't like the lies. He didn't like the lies.
Amen.
So that is on her. He didn't do anything to you. And I understand that you think that, you know, a magic and your current life is sort of the hurdle. It's not just these men are horrible. It's the magical part. I totally get that. But, you know, Paige is getting with Immortal and she's doing just fine. So.
Preach, Rob. Exactly. I know, Charmies. I might be being a little too hard on Phoebe. But
you are, Ryan, because you have not dated anyone in like a millennium. You've been out of the scene for your entire life. Okay. You don't know how hard it is out there. It is messed up out there. It is so bad. I hate having to try again. Every time I break up with somebody, it takes me at least a minimum of a year and a half to find anybody remotely cool that I could possibly want to date. Everything in between, garbage, trash, all of them. And it just makes me hate like dating and all of that. I have to rewire my mind to make me like go out on dates and even find a reason for dating.
Okay.
It's horrible. So I get it. But for a third person's point of view, as far as watching this series since day one, I don't need to see this again. Come at it from a different angle or something. Because, yeah, I don't want to hear about her having blockage again. Like, it's just been overdone.
You know what? You gave me a perspective, Rob, on that. Because that's true. Dating is hard and people suck, unfortunately. So yeah, I see that. Although Phoebe has had a good track record for the most part. They've been decent guys. It's just magic, like you said, that gets in the way.
Yeah.
So really quickly, Piper says that Henry is going to be driven crazy by Paige. And like Rob mentioned earlier, so they're both living rent-free at the manor? Question mark? Because she even mentions like, oh, there's more room for you to put your stuff in, Christy. I'm like, no, you do not take Paige's Prue's room. It's not your, never, Christy, never. Can Christy touch the Book of Shadows on this as well? Because Piper says, you and Billy, take Christy to check the Book of Shadows. I want to see Christy touch the Book of Shadows.
Okay, can you recall anyone who wasn't a demon but just rude and was not able to touch the book? No, I have a feeling that's just what's happening here. She's misguided, but okay. I don't think there's a magical way for her to be evil. She's a witch and she has powers, But she has, ooh. I mean, I don't know if she's like literally chosen evil in that magical way. She's just confused. I'm only making excuses, but did she touch the book this episode?
It was just a comment that Piper said to take her. So I was wondering, I was like, well, kind of.
No. That's actually a really good question. You know, when Prue got married and, you know, when, you know, Phoebe married Cole, these were a lot of acceptance, but she also had the evil baby inside of her. This other, you know, Prue was right. Possessed. This woman, you know, it's just like the whole Paige thing. Like, we got to get her when she's fresh and new for her to choose evil. I don't think Christy fits that category just yet. She's smart. Just being very naive about her views on everything. But I don't think she wants to go out there and just like start killing innocents. So I'm assuming that the book would trust her.
You know what? Rob coming with these bangers this episode. So, well, here we go. Along the same lines, I got the feeling, and I wanted to ask you, do you really feel that she has abandonment issues with her parents, and these are real feelings for her, that she really feels?
Oh, 100%.
So this is the realest part of Christy that we've seen.
100%. Probably. And why it's so easy for her to believe that the sisters are not good people and that it's best that her and Billy do their own thing. Total abandonment issues, of course. I mean, the first thing that she asks, regardless if she's playing a role or not in front of her parents, we'll get to it. But she says, did you really do everything you could? So, yeah, she's been holding that to that forever. What show was it? They did this storyline in Batwoman with Alice, you know, being abandoned and like, did you come looking for me? There was another show or movie that I watched that did the same thing. They just like, if you haven't found me, then did you love me at all? Like, that's just how it is. That's just how it is.
And my last thing in these scenes are the demons, the Noxon demons that Leo never mentioned. And we get the off-screen subtext from the kids that there are these demons that have been basically experimented on at magic school that Leo never told them about, which is weird. And then the second thing was, I said it before on this show too, but we are the charmed ones. When this girl, Jen and Ryan came to their door and they'd be like, oh, we want Leo. You have Piper freaking Hollowell right in front of you. Don't you learn again in those books anything in that classroom?
He's like, put respect on the name, bitch.
Yeah. Because they were just like, Leo can only do it.
Well, no, I did have this written here. I was like, Ryan, what the hell were they doing to these demons? Torture versus vanquish. Is he like, so at first I was like, is he a bully? Like, does he like have fun torturing these people? These Noxon demons were like sold on like years. They said years. They've been tortured. But I just want to know more, because that I just cannot fathom the idea that the elders would be okay of taking demons that can't be destroyed and used for like batting practice. Like, it's just a weird concept that this is allowed up there.
So true.
Leo, who is supposedly a pacifist, would be okay with demons being tortured. Like, when you see a wounded animal, you take their life. Like, you don't, I didn't know that was allowed, but they're demons, right? They're evil. Should we care? Is this a thing? Should I be this empathetic towards demons right now?
It's weird, Rob, but I think what's even weirder is there's never been a mention of this at all. That they've been in magic school, just sitting there in a room that you could go in and torture them if you want.
It's so weird. I can understand, like, autopsy, examining a demon's body if there is something to examine. I don't know if organs change when they're evil.
Look at you. Autopsying them up. My God. It's like vet tech school.
What do you think about the parents who are given sort of a hint that their child just doesn't want to see them anymore? Like, I'm calling. I'm trying to connect with you. When do you as a parent, is there a point in your life when you're just like, they don't want to have anything to do with me, I need to just move on? Or is it really a parent's job to literally try and try until they freaking die? Like, when do you just say they don't want anything to do with me?
That is a great question, Rob, because even this episode, I was trying to look at it from both ways. One way I kind of said with the father, I get what the father said, I won't put your mother through this, because evidently it seems that they had been flying out continuously to try to see her and she kept refusing. So I understand that for your own health and your own mental health. But at the same time, I mean, she was kidnapped for how many? 15 years. You got to give the girl a little leeway.
So that's the thing about it. It's like, if you are blaming me for you being gone for so long, you know, then say it, or just say, I don't know. I may be talking from a very selfish point of view. I just want to know, as a parent, like, when do you just say stop and respect your child's wishes to just be left alone, you know? But then there's the other thing too. It's like, is it always a test? Do they always not know what they mean, you know? And if I were to just agree and be like, okay, fine, do what you got to do, am I going to get chastised for doing what you wanted me to do in the first place? Or am I supposed to, you know, disregard your feelings and wishes and keep pestering you to be my child and let me talk to you and stuff? So this is why I can't be a parent, because that would piss me off. I'm sorry. You know, it's not like I'm just going to quit after the first try, but I'm like, look, man, if you know for a fact that your life is going to be so much better without me, then let's make arrangements. Stay with grandma, stay with aunt, pick your chosen family. If we aren't going to work out, being gay, we've had to pick chosen families, because sometimes the blood ones don't work. So I get it. If you need a chosen family, do it. But, you know, I don't want you coming back to me and be like, you gave up on me. And I'm like, look, I'm trying to do you a favor because this is what you wanted.
Right.
You know,
right.
But I can't have you destroying your life in front of me and just, you know, because I'm the problem. If I'm the problem, then just go. Because I'd rather you be a good person and not be in my life than be a horrible person and you just can't find some, you know, thing with me. So that's just me.
Very immature of you, Rob.
Very immature is what it is, but that's just me so far.
No, I think that's good that you're you would say, you know, let the person be like, you know, if this is going to torture you, why be part of my life? Or, you know, so I think that was mature of you. It's so for your own good.
So the last thing that I had is just sort of this journey with Coop and Phoebe. It sucks that they just can't sit in a room, put a projector on the wall, and just watch these memories. Why do they always have to go back into the past to view these things? And not only that, they always have the power to literally go back in time to possibly change it. Why can't they just be invisible onlookers? Why do they always have to be hiding and being like, don't do anything because you'll change it? And it's just like, this should not be allowed. I don't understand how they have the power to do this. Just watch it on screen. Do a memory thing. I don't know. It's just like every time.
Or not do it. Or not do it at all. I mean, it worked for Cat House because it was a flashback episode and it was a page looking at the past. But yeah, no. Be ghosts. Invisible ghosts like the Christmas Story.
Yeah. Yeah. They tell Piper of the Noxon demons. The Noxons have killed off all of Leo's other students. They are the only survivors. It's like Elm Street. Oh my God.
Yeah, the last of the magic school kids.
Yeah. Piper covers for Leo, unwilling to admit to what happened to him. Phoebe and Coop find themselves viewing Phoebe's past life with Anton. Pardon my past. Oh. I'm so glad they revisit this shit. Oh, I was so happy. That kiss once again was just magical. And even Coop wanted to pull it out. He was so into looking and just watching them. He almost did. He was so into it. Both of them were getting their jollies off just watching those two. Because that shit was hot. Didn't that scene also seem extended? Like, I don't think we got that whole entire thing. It was just played out.
He wanted to pull it out.
Ryan has never heard such a thing, so he's just red right now.
That was so funny. Oh, yeah, I think it was extended.
Coop was just really into it. I'm sorry. But that, sorry. That kiss will literally go down as one of the hottest things to happen in this entire series. Her and Anton had the chemistry. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Then see her last date with Drake from the 7-year witch. And then they also flash back to the present, and Coop asks Phoebe about her longest relationship, which she brings up Cole.
We got the leg scene that we talked about last week.
We did. The Noxons attack in the attic. Piper throws a potion trying to vanquish them, but only got one of them badly injured, but it regenerates. Now, the pain and suffering in the like when he was like trying to fight, like, I know he did a really good acting job with that. I was feeling that pain right there. The demons shimmer away. Billy and Christy meet their parents because Christy's like, I got to get out of here and I can't let them kids see me. Let's just go see the parents. This is the worst of two evils. Okay.
Yeah, evidently.
Christy is reluctant, but after seeing her parents smiling, she is hesitatingly meets them. Piper calls Billy and she has to leave Christy with her parents. The scene freezes and Candor appears. Now, this is about maybe the second or third time that he's done this. Again, doesn't want to kill a charm one. Doesn't want to, like, move a chair from under anybody. He is just totally chill with not doing anything. He could take out each charm one right now.
You're right. And in broad daylight, too, by the way.
He warns her not to get too close to her parents. Now, this is a very interesting thing. Christy still has the ability to feel hope and love, and he wants to keep her as bitter as possible. Otherwise, this plan will not work. Yeah. And I totally get it, but he keeps talking about this quest, this final test, whatever. What do you think about this idea of, like, I'm gonna kidnap you, you can't get close to your parents, get Billy out of that house as quick as possible? Do you think that it's easy for Christy to just fall back into place and be that innocent that you mentioned, or is there a lot of damage here that needs to be undone? Because it didn't seem so.
I mean, there's definitely, I guess there's a lot of damage with her, but the fact that she was able to be well adjusted in some aspects gave me hopes, but I want to know how much of Christy is this and how much of what we've seen is real, because she's given me a whole different outlook this time around of what could have been. And it really is disappointing. Rob, I'm stumped. What do you think? God.
I don't know. I have a feeling that, again, with the amount of episodes that we have left, it seems that it can be very easy for Christy to kind of unravel and unwind from all that has been taught to her. You know, just being away from her parents and everything was a really good step towards the direction of evil, but it doesn't seem that they did a really good job if it's this easy for her to forget everything that's been taught to her. So there was hope for her, it seemed. You know, we needed to keep her angry and confused, wondering why the parents never did everything that they could. All of the information that was being fed to her was being, you know, stumped. Mm. And yeah, so that's how I see it. The last thing that I wrote is when Christy tried to burn him, and he's like, woman, do you really think your parlor tricks will work on me? Are you kidding me right now? But an arm through the body works just fine. But nope, can't burn me.
Yeah, not that power, but yeah, break through me.
Yeah.
Well, just back to the whole Christy thing again. So if she saw if we are to believe what we discussed last week, that these demons didn't even let her utensils, let's just say. This could have been all an act, although that's really deep to go that cut. Like, I don't even know how to eat and use utensils. But let's just say that they didn't let her use utensils. She was like this animal. Doesn't she see, even if you've been raised for 15 years, don't you see that this sister that you clearly still love sees these women, and these women are giving you clothes, they're giving you food, they're using utensils? I mean, I know if you're damaged enough, it won't matter maybe to you, but like, look at the difference. This one's screaming at you. This one is just trying to feed you. I don't know. Maybe because I have never been in this headspace. I should look outside, but I don't know. It's just sad.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So, again, what I have to say about this section is I think it's so sad, the interaction with the parents and Christy and this moment, and then it was interrupted by the demon, because it could have been a beautiful moment, because she asked that question, did you look for me, or how hard did you look for me? But although, again, if you have mortal parents or grandmother was a witch, there's only so much you could do.
That's the other thing too, and I know that the dad's there, so maybe they are still keeping it a secret, but it's surprising that they didn't bring that up. Like, clearly there's some magical stuff going on. But then you also have to wonder, did Billy even like catch them up as to where she was, how she was kidnapped, by who, demons and all of that jazz? You wonder if she told them.
Yeah, because you're right. Like, wouldn't they be saying, well, who kidnapped you? We'd like to press charges that they kidnapped you for 15 years. Good question. Phoebe and Coop find themselves at the scene where she high kicks Cole on campus from the honeymoon's over. They then see his final vanquish at Phoebe's hand in Centennial Charmed. Rob, do you think the writers thought that was Phoebe of... not the multiverse Phoebe, that was the real Phoebe, because she had never been there. So this is the first time supposedly that she's seen this, because this was Paige projecting into this alternate dimension with Cole.
So I was going to bring this up, but I didn't want to sound like I didn't know what I was talking about, but you did it. So I'll just join on your train. I was a little confused with the timeline, because Cole used his power as an avatar mm-hmm. to rewind time, but we just have to figure out that when you do alternate time, does it create a new timeline or does it just reset the same one? So for them to have the power to not only go back in time but to a different timeline, like Coop, Jesus, that ring can do things. I mean, go to any other alternate universe then, but I'm just saying, like, was that an alternate universe or did we go back to the same timeline, but just back in the past? And then Paige was just there. I don't know. Because then they go back to the condo and it's all abandoned or whatnot. So I don't know if it was the same timeline or not.
I always thought it was an alternate timeline.
It had
this
to
is
have
before
been.
The multiverse even happened.
Well, because
happened,
look what
everybody.
Happened. Look what happened with you know, Piper and everything, the way she didn't, you know, she doesn't have that leather outfit in her closet, like time reset or changed or something. So yeah, I think they went to a different alternate timeline and I didn't know that you could do that. So.
And I think what happened here was the writers, whoever wrote this, had no idea. They just know that Cole got vanquished. They pulled up the part of the episode, put it in, made her react. But I think that they forgot that this is Coop's power would have been endless then at this point.
Well, if we happen to be wrong, definitely let us know. I know somebody will. So that's just kind of how visually it was played out to me. But yeah.
So Kandor goes to the Noxons and offer his help in return for them helping him. The student witches suggest a way to get rid of the Noxons, throwing a vanquishing potion at them and then sending them into the astral plane before they regenerate, where they will be trapped in a permanent vanquish. They propose to offer themselves as bait. So I gotta say, these first the students rubbed me the wrong way, not showing Piper the proper respect, I would say. But I gotta say, the future of magic is in good hands. Not only did these students come up with a great idea, but they were brave enough to actually offer themselves as bait. Although they were torturing demons for years. And as I mentioned earlier, this is when in between Paige comes to visit her sisters. And she says she misses everybody. And I just loved that.
Here is another callback of when Piper went on her business trip and the two were left to defeat the Alcatraz ghost. So
power of two, we'll have to do.
Yeah. This gives me another rendition of WWPD. What would Prue do?
So good.
Okay, so Paige is on her honeymoon, not to be distracted. Would Prue have... Okay, let's say if Prue was on her honeymoon and yes. came to visit, do you think that Prue would have seen right through Billy and Piper trying to disguise and not make her aware of danger? Do you think that she would have seen right through it? And if so, would she have stayed and helped... Or would she have taken her butt back to finish her honeymoon? Do you think that she can stay away? Because here's the thing. Prue decided to keep Piper away from it and give her a break. So she should understand why it's important for you to have a life outside of demon fighting. If we say we can take care of it, you have to trust us that we can take care of it. Can Prue step back and let them handle it?
Two things come to mind, Rob. First, I'm thinking of her and Bane in that whole little getaway kind of thing when she did want to be left alone, not rescued maybe for a little while. So it's in her. It's in her, right? But yes, I think she would have seen through. I guess Astral Prue would have came in, you know, waved hello. No, I think she would have stayed, honestly. And I do think what you said is true when she gave Piper that whole magic-free thing for her honeymoon. But again, that's Prue, I think, stepping up and being Prue, the big sister, caregiver, and just like, well, that's what I'm going to do because I would have been fighting these demons anyway. So let her not worry. I will take the, you know, as the big sister kind of thing. So if she's gone past that at this point, because she's gone through a lot, I could see her enjoying a honeymoon for a little while, but I really feel like Prue is a true workaholic in heart. So well, she will always.
You also have to wonder that the odds that if you do go on some kind of vacation, what's going to be going on at home is they'll probably have to fight a demon or two. So, I mean, what's the point of doing a vacation in any sense? Because, you know, the remaining sisters are going to have to deal with some kind of danger. You have to be able to enjoy yourself and take your head out of the game for a while.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, that's going to be a thing. No matter how many times or when you go on vacation, it's always going to be a possibility that everybody else is just going to be fighting demons and putting themselves in danger.
True, true.
So, another question, and I don't know if they've ever really established this, because I know that Piper had to also deal with the sort of like, I can't remember the name of the spell, but when you have to kill yourself to get rid of a ghost, they use the same method.
Oh, yes, yes.
They use the same method as they did on the Alcatraz ghost. The thing is, Piper was not there the first time around. Do you think that Phoebe or Prue ever came clean about what happened that week?
I think they I assume they did because of continuity reasons with that spell. Yes. I assume that they did maybe the day after too. Cause you know, even in a playful mood, she might've been like, well, what happened when I was gone? Cause I think she even said that like you guys survived without me.
Well, the fact that it was in the book, I mean, she could still do the spell without knowing that.
That's true. That's true.
But I just wonder, did they ever say anything, or has it been a secret this entire time that nothing happened?
I think at that point when she's back, let her know, because it is a learning lesson. It's one of these things that they had been through. And if she wasn't there to experience it, I think it would have been a good idea to tell her either way. Just like, you know what? Look, we handled it. You got to do the business trip. But guess what happened? I had to die and Andy had to bring me back.
On the same subject of Paige visiting, she has a drink in hand, but she lets everyone know it's a virgin drink. Surprised you didn't bring this up, but
I saw your note and I said, let Rom say
you're
it.
Funny. Well, I knew that you would really like that. And so I thought that was really cute. Also, while Cupid and Phoebe are going around with visiting her past, she sees the one about Cole and he calls it a cute meat. Now, I don't know if they were just sort of figuring out the term back in the mid-2000s, but I know it as meet cute. So I don't know if he messed it up or were they still sort of working out the name of this back in the day? Because it sounded so weird the way you said it.
That's a good question because...
And if anything, a Cupid should know what a meat cute is and call it a cute meat. But I just wonder if the name was different back in the day.
Unless maybe it goes both ways. Maybe like Cupid does too. No, I don't know.
Coop talks to Phoebe, saying he knows why she has her block. Because her relationships have ended badly. But he shows her how they began. And in particular, those with Jason and Leslie and when Drake first danced with her. He uses his ring again, and Phoebe is open to love. Oh, look at that.
Just like that, her walls come crashing down.
Christy accompanies her parents to their hotel room. Her cell phone rings, and Piper is on the line, or so it seems. She leaves, and then the Noxon shimmers in. Piper is thinking out aloud about the student witch's plan. She addresses Leo with her plans, and Wyatt walks in and tells her to let them try. Daddy would want to. I didn't know he knew so many words, but he also in grown folks' business, too, and knows what to say. But it was the cutest thing. It was the cutest thing.
It was adorable, Rob, but I even said, what does Wyatt know any context of what was going on that Daddy would have no freaking way? But adorable as hell. Adorable as hell.
Christy arrives at the manor and Piper denies having called her. And so she and Billy go back to the hotel and find their parents dead. I did not remember this at all. And then I'm reading the synopsis as I'm watching. I'm like, oh my God, they really did kill them. Why did they have to die?
And why wasn't Billy more upset in the scene? That's what my question was.
Billy was crying her eyes out. But yeah, I would have been more traumatized.
I mean, she kind of was just like, should we call the cops? I'm like, Billy, I know you could do it. I know you were on 8 Simple Rules. I know you could bring that emotion.
Look,
out.
If it had been a black woman there, we would have been throwing shit.
Bring like, the curtains down with
take
you.
Take me, Lord. Take me instead. We would be raising hell over this. I mean, both parents. Both of them.
Both.
And I'd be like, Christy, isn't it a little suspect that she knew what was going to happen? Ooh, we got to go back now. Like... I don't know. Something would have like triggered off of me. Like, why is this happening?
And isn't it suspect that Christy is in control now, telling you where to go?
Right. I will handle this. What are you going to handle?
Exactly, Christy. You couldn't even eat with a fork last week. Why is she? I mean, I know her parents died, but this is a little like I'd be like, Christy, where are you getting this thing from? Where are you going? I've been a witch for much longer.
It was a little suspect. It was very suspect.
Oh, and there you are, Witch Watcher. You know what? Right. She came a little early last time, and this time she made us wait. Rob, who said this quote? Ah, good question. Fortunately, the rest of me is still at magic school. Otherwise, I'd be... Well, as long as my body remains on grounds, I can't, die. It's all part of the magic, thankfully.
Oh my God, what is his name? It's a he, isn't it? Is it a he? It's not a he.
Boy. Yes, it possibly is.
I think I know who this is. I'm just trying to, isn't it Cedric Diedrich.
Yeah, it is. You know what? You got, I mean, I did this for Rob, actually. This is Sigmund.
I know you did. Sigmund. Oh, God, I could not get his name. Sigmund, yes. I knew who it was, though. It was the Headless Horseman episode. Yes,
you got it.
His body fell out of magic school door. That was when they, yes. Sigmund, yes, okay.
You got it. This was Sigmund, who was a witch who worked at magic school. He was the professor of advanced magic and an assistant to Gideon. Sigmund was involved in the plot to dispose of Wyatt Hollowell, but in the end, he realized it was wrong, Rob. And then his big power, of course, along with everything else, was levitation, because I remember us even discussing it in the episode. And he was on 4 episodes of Charmed, and I thought he was adorable too. He was kind of like that Rick Moranis little Shapahara's kind of feeling. And unfortunately, he was killed because he was going to stupidly he told Gideon his plan to expose his plot to, you know, kill Wyatt. But so Sigmund, thank you for your service. And thank you,
Sigmund. Sigmund actually is just one of those people you want by your side. It's insane how loyal and genuine this man is. I really, really enjoyed his character. So I'm glad that we got somebody like Sigmund on this show.
I agree. And I wish he could have been maybe a little involved longer, not killed.
Man, can you imagine if he was just left the school as the predecessor after defeating this evil headmaster? That the job was always meant for him to be headmaster this whole time? It just sucks that he could not be around.
You know what? That actually could have been a cool idea and had Leo still work there, but yeah. Or Paige, but like under him or something like that. One of the Noxon demons has given up his plan of revenge, but he still pursues the student witches. The students take position, and the Noxon shimmers in. They throw potions, and they speak a spell. Demon of fire, demon of pain, we banish you to the astral plane. Banishing the Noxon to the astral plane. Christy goes to Candor, angry over the death of her parents. He tells her that her parents were a distraction. She punches through him, impaling him with her arm. And he congratulates her, saying, "Congratulations, you've passed the final test," before he explodes. "Okay, Emperor Palpatine, you will strike me down and you're going to become my next apprentice. You're going to become a Sith Lord now, Christy." I remembered that Christy's parents died. And it kind of always, this was the part, Rob, that made me question. Is the anger that actually motivates her to continue down this path? Because clearly she was upset that her parents were killed. So wouldn't you almost want to rebel against the triad? And then at this point, you would have no one else to report to. So where are you coming up with this plot with Billy? Like, does she know the rest of the plot? Does she know, like, oh, I'm going to be in this position and then Billy's going to activate?
I have no idea. I was a little confused over what the test was also. Was it to just maybe kill somebody, regardless who it was? Or was the final test to kill Candor himself? I don't
replace him or something. Yeah,
I have no idea. But I guess it was just to show that natural evil instinct that everyone has, that you can take a life, I'm assuming. Mm. We needed that to happen. And of course, her being around her parents was not going to help her killing instinct. So I can only assume that's what was going on.
But he's a demon, right? So she's killed demons before. So then it's like weird that it was it the killing? Was it the sheer like anger of the killing? Maybe. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, that concludes our recap of episode 16. Oh, I'm sorry. Of episode 17, Generation Hex. So the title of the episode not necessarily took a lot. Well, I guess it was sort of the main plot, right? of this episode.
That's what I was going to ask you how this fit, and I was hoping you were going to play the Spice Girls instead, because how does this fit, Generation X?
It's Generation X, meaning the kids, the ones who, I mean, our demon of the week is because these Generation X kids was torturing demons behind their backs. So that's why the episode was called that.
His mind works still. Mine doesn't.
But I guess that was the main plot. I guess it did drive a lot of the stuff that was going on. The more powerful stuff came from plot B. So that's why I was a little like, why is it called Generation X? But I get it. Let's get into our high stakes. What did we think about the villains this week?
Ooh.
Their motivation for revenge, you know, do they have a right? I think they had all right to go after these kids. Not to say that they should have done it. What I'm saying is I get it. I get the motivation.
Right.
When they could be thinking bigger, why are you going after a couple of kids? They have been literally tortured for a very long time. So I get it. But we've got, you know,
years.
We've got the triad. We've got Christy a little bit in a way. The parents dying. What do you think about the stakes this week?
Okay. So I'm thinking upper level.
Very upper level.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Okay.
Yeah, no, because we agree.
The demon, I feel like just the fact that the demons were unvanquishable definitely elevated things. And then, of course, yes, Christy and Billy's parents dying. The triad. Yeah, I think so. Upper level. So, we agree.
Yeah. I definitely think this is upper level. I mean, we lost two parents in the process of this. You know, they've been fooled a couple of times throughout this episode. Christy is still undercover. I think, you know, protecting these kids and everything, the plan, putting them in danger is bait. I think all of the stakes were pretty high. They didn't need the power of three. Actually, they didn't need the power of two.
No.
You know, to handle this, but at the same time, they all had something to do. So, I think this was definitely upper level for me.
Does that mean it's time for fashions?
It's time for fashion. Fashions by Ryan. Take it away.
So, Charmies, I think besides Billy's beautiful hair, that was the star of many a scenes, if you could call that fashion. Paige's cute blue and white honeymoon dress and that matching hat, which I think is perfect and dead on for the Paige character, because I mean, from her first season, she told Phoebe and to keep her face out of the sun and her bodies when they switched demons. So I totally picture Paige wearing a cat on their honeymoon under the sun with her non-alcoholic drink. So her cute blue and white honeymoon dress hat combo. Cute. So cute. And that was Fashions by Ryan.
Awesome. All right. Next week on Charmed, the torn identity. No idea. No clue at all. I love it.
I think it's going to be Christy struggling with her new identity or her trying to get Billy to struggle with something.
Is this Billy starts seeing that after everything they've done for her, they're pieces of shit? Is this when it starts? Or is it the one after?
Well,
that?
Tell them how you really feel. And yeah, that's exactly how I feel too. So yeah, I think because they got to start working. We're on episode 17. She's got to get to 22 with this plot. So 18, 19, yeah. We're getting closer to that Charm One's trash.
Yeah. All right. Well, we definitely had fun this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed listening.
Coop pulled it out.
We hope you enjoyed listening on your Sunday or whichever day you are listening to this. Make sure to send us any comments or corrections if you've noticed we said anything that was out of place or wrong. We try our best to remember everything that happens on this show, but we'd love to hear your feedback and anything that you'd like to put in Charmy Confessions, and we will definitely be back with another episode next week on the Torn Identity. I may not have said this last week, but happy Pride Month to all of my queer Charmies and family out there. We hope that this month shines bright and that you have a wonderful month just being you and being proud of being you. And for those who are allies out there, we thank you so, so much. All right, that is going to be it. Have a great week and day, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, Charmies. Find your past loves while you're until we meet again.
Episodes till the final charm, and Sunday, married life is an adjustment.
Are you mad at me? Did I do something that I don't know I did?
Just
what?
As two people,
Henry,
become one.
Go to a mirror.
Look out!
A fresh charm.